our next speaker is John Kestrel, and he will talk about monitoring the 3D evolution of soil macropore networks.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. So I'm happy that so many have made it to this early hour. I will not talk about modeling, so I'm not modeling. I'm rather interested in measuring things that modelers need to develop the models and to ground truth the model. And this is about some kind of hobby experiment. So I had applied for a project on burying soil columns in outside and then taking them to the lab and X-ray them and then bury them again in the ground and then repeat that. But unfortunately, it had nothing to do with climate change, and so it was not funded. And so I just did it with one column. So, and I have a little garden where I took the column after hand plowing. And motivation was just to see if it would work and what X-ray would give and what and how the pore network evolution would evolve with time. So for the motivation is that you know that pore networks are always evolving with time, and there is so far not so much quantitative knowledge available on the changes on these pore networks and the related soil physical properties or also chemical and biological environments in them. So in the first step for learning more about this and to understanding the system, would it be to quantify the pore networks and their evolution with time? And it's quite straightforward that X-ray should be suited to do that. So what I wanted to do is simply to explore the potential of 3D imaging with X-ray tomography for quantifying soil macropore network evolutions. And because my boss didn't believe that earthworms would go into the soil column, so it is open to the in the bottom. So also I was wondering if he was right. And I was also wondering if roots would grow through the bottom boundary of the soil column into the subsoil. And then I was interested, I was curious what would be more important, bioturbation or freezing thawing cycles, and then kind of some morphological things, if the network would become better or worse connected with time, or if it will become more or less isotropic with time. So this is how I did it then. So I took a soil column after hand plowing in June 2013, and I scanned it, as I said, put it back in the garden, as you can see on the right-hand side, and I did it until I dropped it accidentally and destroyed the soil column. And you can see on the bottom, you can see the 6 dates where I took it out and scanned it, and then I placed it afterwards always into the garden again. So I'm working in Sweden, so you see it's a bit in the north. And you see we have freezing thawing cycles in the winter. So that's the scanner we have in our institute. So it's a GE Phoenix industrial scanner. And I don't want to go into detail in the parameters to acquire the images, but just say that the spatial resolution that we had in the end is 65 micrometers. And the soil column has an inner diameter of 6.8 centimeters. And for the quantitative analysis, I used the whole column diameter, but only a 4.2 centimeter high fraction of it. And I selected this column above a reference depth, but there was an object in the soil that I could identify in all the images. Time. So the image processing was all done with ImageJ and Fiji, or the Fiji distribution package of ImageJ. I aligned the 6 images manually so that they kind of coincided with depth and orientation. I calibrated the grayscale to the macropore gray value, the air filled macropore gray value, so the air value of at the gray value of air and the gray value of the PVC column wall. And this allowed me then to select the identical threshold for all 6 images. And for the morphological properties are used mostly the plugins collected in BoneJ, which is an image shape plugin. Okay, and these are the results. For the ones who are not familiar with the with X-ray images, so dark colors mean low density and bright colors mean high density. So black means air and white means sand grains and gravel. And pinkish and lilac things are water or, in this case, fresh organic matter. So you can see in the beginning, so this is in, will I be able to get the mouse? Here it is. So this is kind of after hand plowing. So you see it's nice and homogeneous. And 4 months later, after the vegetation periods, you see that there has borrowed something inside. And I asked some ecologists, and so it seems to be really earthworms. Or they couldn't think of something else that could make such burrows. Then you see that the burrows number has increased slightly until the next time I scanned it, which was after the snow melt in March. But you see that afterwards there are no new burrows. So, but there is some evidence that the earthworms reuse the old system. I think the only one, the only one is this one here, which is new afterwards. Instead, you're seeing that that there is here this dandelion root that has been growing in the second vegetation period and is here destroying the aggregates here. You see it completely crushing them. Okay, and you see here after the winter it has less water, and you would see, if I had chosen another image, that it also has shrunken a bit. So it has no contact to the wall. Okay, that's the same image, but from the side. I could maybe go back and show you. This is this reference object here. It's some kind of Leica clay ball, I think. So you see it's really the same depth always. And if you look, that's the same column. Just look from the side. The blue arrow here, that's the position of the Leica clay ball. And and you see that that it doesn't stay in the same depth, huh? So apparently in the first winter, when there was not many roots growing there yet, the freezing thawing cycles had pushed out the soil column out of the soil a bit. And what I did then afterwards is I just squeezed it in again. On these images you see the dandelion root growth a bit better. You see it now first here in March 2014. And as you see again, that the growth really takes off in the second vegetation period. Now you can also kind of extract the organic material. So this is now a 3D image. So I hope it's kind of can be kind of it's understandable. So I used to have movies where you rotate the whole thing, so then it's better visible, but it takes too much space, I think. But in the beginning, you see that the organic material is nicely distributed in the volume, and then you see then here you see already the earthworm, the dandelion root starting to grow even earlier. So it had established right after I had put the soil column in there. Another thing you may see is here there are some eggs here, which mysteriously disappear in the second year at one point. Okay, this on the top is some grass. Okay, and now to the morphological measures. So here you see the macroporosity on the left-hand side against the fraction of fresh organic matter in the soil column. Blue always means it's the start of the experiment, and red is the end, roughly 2 years later. So you see that the organic matter content stays more or less the same in the first 1.5 years, or roughly 1 year, and then when the dandelion root is growing, it really gets higher, and also the macroporosity decreases, where it has increased in the first half year due to the earthworms. On the right-hand side, you see the same thing but against a fraction of fresh organic matter. And you see that the earthworms kind of lead to an increase in the maximal pore, macropore diameter, and over time this decreases again. The same thing against macroporosity. You see it's at lowest in the beginning, then the earthworm starts digging, and then it gets to maximum and then decreases again. The number of individual pore clusters decrease from the beginning. So you have in the beginning after plowing, you have one big cluster which connects everything. And interestingly, this decreases first, but when the dandelion root is growing, it creates actually again more isolated pores, although that the macropore volume is decreasing. So how does that kind of connect to the connectivity of the macropore system? So I found the left-hand side the Euler number, which adds up the number of pores and subtracts the number of loops in the pores. And you see in the beginning you have a macropore system with a lot of kind of redundant connections, and this simply decreases very also in the first observation period, but until it took it out again, and then stays relatively constant, although that the macropore volume changes considerably and the number of pores as isolated clusters change. A better measure for pore connections from top to bottom is the fraction of the largest pore cluster, which you see also stays more or less constant first and only goes down when the dandelion root is growing. And now the final slide before the wrap-up, the fractal dimension. I just calculated these things shortly after this conference, I must say. It's kind of decreasing slightly from the start, meaning so that the pore system gets more smooth with time. And on the right-hand side, you see the anisotropy, which I don't really understand for now why it does not simply get more and more anisotropic, but it is with this measure of degree of intercept, which is implemented in bone jay. So it basically draws radial lines from different points and counts how many times in each direction you have a phase change. And you know, this first, I should explain that the higher the anisotropy is, the more anisotropic the system is. So after plowing, it is actually not at the lowest anisotropy level, so which was quite surprising for me. And then it decreases even. Okay, then with the earthworms and so on, it increases, that's logical, but then with the dandelion root growth, yeah, it goes down again, which, yeah, I don't know yet. Okay. So the conclusion is basically it works pretty well and can be used to gain new knowledge and understanding of time evolution of macropore systems and the associated physical properties, which then which are basically the what define the conditions in which the chemistry and biology takes place in the soil. There's also some feedback, of course. Yeah. Okay, so it could now be tried out as a next step, I guess, to link it to these processes. So with that, I thank you.